Paddy Power giving all customers a £5 free bet for Saturday of Glorious Goodwood. Just log in and claim on site. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Postcast, looking ahead to the final day of a brilliant, glorious Goodwood. And thankfully, there is a crowd. 5,000 people have been allowed onto the Downs for the final day. It's the first step in what we hope will be a grand plan and a successful plan to get people back into race courses, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who is gagging for a day at the races. It's Stewards Cup dominating the card, but there's four other great races on ITV as well. Plus, we've got four races on the same channel at Newmarket, and we'll see what else the lads fancy. We've got the last day or the last weekend of the Galway Festival, so hopefully Frank's got some winners, and there's a Group 1 in France on Sunday. We'll see what Keith makes of that, but we'll start with the first of the five TV races from Goodwood on Saturday. It's the 150. It's the Unibet Stewards Sprint Handicap. It's a consolation race for the Stewards Cup itself. Over six furlongs. Frank, could you give us a show of betting from Paddy Power? Hopefully we've got some extra places, have we?
I think we're just four here, Bruce, but we do have on the card. Ruewat is 7-2, May Remain, Tommy G are both 7-1, Call Me Ginger, Treacherous both 8-1, Bachelor Boy 9-1, Salute 10-1, along with the Lamplighter, and we're 14-1 bar.
Okay, Keith, there's two elements to this race, isn't there? Who wins it? And also, what effect does the draw have vis-a-vis the main Stewards' Cup itself?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's everybody looks to this race to see where they might go in the Stewards' Cup. And there's two things, I think, to consider with this one. Firstly, there's only 17 in this race. I think it tends to fill. Maxfield at 28 in the Stewards' Cup. The most interesting thing, I think, when I looked at this race, I looked through this race and looked where the pace was. It's all high. In the Stewards' Cup, the pace is low to middle. So I would be wary about reading too much into what happens in this race, but it could be real carnage if the jockeys read something into what happens in this race with the pace being high and all the low middle drawn ones decide they need to be nearer the rail. It could have bedlam in the Stewards' Cup if that's what happens. But it's a really interesting thing to note. Look, the pace is high in the Stewards' Sprint, so you need to watch out with regards to that. The one I picked out is drawn high. It's Bachelor Boy, and I think there's an element of a bit of a plan here. Ryan Moore's on him. Now, Ryan Moore hasn't ridden him since the first week or the first time he ran since resumption. He ran at Wolverhampton over five and was patently too slow for five at Wolverhampton, but came through to win going away and won really quite well. He's only £6 higher now, and he looked like a horse that would have certainly won that same race off £6 higher, acknowledging this is a much harder race. His next two starts have both been over five as well, and he has again looked short of pace for five. But you just wonder with Ryan Moore being back on today whether the word in the paddock afterwards was Marco will ride him when you run him over six again. And now he does in what is normally quite a valuable race. It's cut a little bit this year. And as an unexposed three-year-old in the right sort of place around the pace, I think Bachelor Boy is extremely interesting.
Okay, Keith, so just to summarise with this one, If all the high numbers win, or indeed all the low numbers win, don't necessarily go rushing out and trying to get fancy prices about the high draw numbers in the main event itself.
Yes, absolutely, because I don't see much pace high in the Stewards' Cup at all. The pace is sort of 4 or 5, and there's a few clustered in the middle as well. I don't see any pace high, and I can see a pitfall for punters there.
Okay, G-Rod, how are you? Have you had a smashing, glorious Goodwood?
Yeah, having a great week. I really love this week anyway. But it's been a beautiful week of weather, hasn't it? And glorious it's looking, isn't it, on the TV. How much I just wish I could be there.
Yeah, have you backed plenty of winners?
Yeah, yesterday was very good. Supremacy was a fantastic result, and he won very well as well. So that was good. Then I had a tip for one in the last of Charlie Fellows. And didn't back it, and then that got beat as well. That's it, like a bonus, isn't it? When you get a tip and then it runs terribly, and then you don't back it and it loses.
Okay, well, who's your tip for the first? Let's hope you back that.
It's funny, you know, because I was going to come on here and say that all my eggs are going in the low draw basket here. No, there's no pace among the low numbers. So Call Me Ginger, 6, Dream Today, 5, and all those, Treacherous in 3, and Tommy G in 2, they're all held up. But I don't generally tend to be a disciple of this idea that the pace is the place to be in these sprints. And Kills and I have had several heated debates about it in general. I've just watched too many of these sprints and seen one side miles ahead at halfway as the camera pans round, and then suddenly the other side is winning at the finish. I don't know why that is. I think sometimes maybe that the where when there's loads and loads and loads of pace on one side, they can go a little bit too hard and run the race inefficiently, and then the other side ends up winning. That would be my guess at it. But generally speaking as well, from a stats perspective, low draws have been the place to be in sprints at Goodwood. And the further away you go from one, the harder it becomes to win, purely from a stats perspective. So I'm going to stick with the low numbers as opposed to Keith. And I thought it was very difficult to choose between the lot because there's a bunch of horses who could just pop up. But Call Me Ginger was my idea of the best of the low numbers for Jim Goldie. And he won this a couple of years ago with Tommy G, who's related to Call Me Ginger. I think there's a half sibling. And then there's another one of Goldie's in there that's also a half sibling to both, which is really weird. But Call Me Ginger, yeah, was second behind Miras last time in the Scottish Stewards Cup at Hamilton. And Miras is one of the hot favourites for the Stewards Cup. So that'll be interesting to see how he comes out with regards to a boost in the form for Call Me Ginger. But he stayed on really strongly towards the finish. I think a really fast run race, which hopefully he will get. We'll see. Obviously, there's no pace on his side, but we'll see. Will suit him, and he might be able to finish off best of them with Kevin Stott on board.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Frank, what is your view of the Stewards Consolation race?
Yeah, it's tricky enough. I was given a chance in the Lamplighter for George Baker. Now, he's only 10-1 with us at the moment. I think he'll probably drift a little bit this afternoon because he looks second string. They have May Remain in here as well with Kieran Fallon claiming three off. But just his last two runs at Goodwood for the Lamplighter caught my eye. Last August, over 6 furlongs off America 64, he absolutely bolted up 1.75 lengths very easily. And he tried to make all here in the middle of June last month and was only caught on the line by he should uphold the form. He's £6 better off here with Treacherous, so he should really beat him. Treacherous ahead of him at the market here. I thought he caught the eye at Newmarket the last day. He fell out of the stalls a little bit and ran on nice to be second to Turn to Rock, who was only having his third start for Jed O'Keefe and looks to be improving for that year. He's off America 73 here. It's only £2 higher than when touched off by Treacherous three runs back. And I just thought at the prices, I think he could be, I'd be expecting he'd be 14 or 16 to 1 this evening. When this market's reassessed, I thought he was an each-way play.
Okay, Keith goes for Bachelor Boy, G-Rod goes for Call Me Ginger, and Frank goes for the Lamplighter. The 225 is the Unibet Summer Handicap over 1.6 miles. Frank, what's the latest betting on this?
Laffey is 5-2, Calling the Wind 13-2, King's Advice 15-2, The Max We Can, Charlene Platt 8-1, Indianapolis and Hawkfield 9-1, and we're 10-1 bar.
Have you got a confident choice here, Graham?
Yeah, Platitude. This horse is a course and distance winner, seems to save his best form for Goodwood. And Amanda Perrett always does very well at the track. She's obviously a local trainer. And I thought Platitude ran very well last time behind Mancini at Sandown. Travelled nicely through the race. But the leader just got a bit of an easy and was able to get away from Platitude towards the finish. But he kept on nicely to finish second. Now, he has won a handicap here off 102 over 1.6 miles. He's won a handicap here. He's won a listed race here. And he's now rated off 89. So he's absolutely thrown in on his best form. He's like £13 lower than the last time he scored in a handicap here, which was obviously a couple of years ago. But I just think he's got a class edge here.
Right then, Frank, what's your selection?
Yeah, I thought the outside of the field was very interesting here. Quilloub. Now, he was a useful handicapper for Owen Burrs in 2017. He won 3 in the bounce from America 71 up to 87. He just failed to win off 94, beaten the neck by Dubawi 50 at Nottingham. Dubawi 50 was only rated 85 that day, and he peaked when he was ahead second in Nottingham and played off 100. So it was a good effort on the day. He's obviously had his issues. He only had 3 starts the next 18 months and switched to Gary Moore then. He was fourth last season at Ascot, over 2 miles off a mark of 91. Only 4 lengths behind the Max Buchan, but Quilou was conceding 13 pounds to him. He's actually getting a stone off the Max Buchan here now. And he was very unlucky in his next start at Salisbury on one, over mile six on good firm ground. He didn't get a clear run at all, was beaten half a length. He really should have won. He was fourth at Ascot then on soft ground over 2 miles, where he had Laffey a length and a half behind him, but was conceding him 10 pounds. He's now getting 13 pounds off of him. I must mention, their weight for age last year, the Max Buchan and Laffey were three-year-olds, but at the same time, it gives an indication of the massive swing in the weights he has with them. Soft ground wouldn't have been ideal from that day at Ascot, but he still ran a cracker. He's had two reasonable hurdle starts with third at Plumpton and Ascot, and he had a reappearance run in the Ascot Stakes. He just didn't stay 2.5 miles. I mean, people look at it and say, oh, he's beaten 28 lengths. But if you go back and watch it, he's actually third turning in, and he blatantly doesn't stay and didn't, probably needed the race as well. He's down to a mark of 88, which is the same mark. It's actually 2 pounds below the mark. He went really close at Salisbury off. I just hit the prices. He's a massive price at 16-1. Like when you're comparing him to the Max Buchan and Laffey, and I thought he was very interesting.
Excellent. Frank goes for the rank outsider Quilloub. Keith, who are you going to tip?
I don't think this is much of a race for the grades, and you know, a telly race on a Saturday. And I'm going to follow the Max Buchan up a cliff, so I think it's going to have to be him. There's increasingly a suspicion he might want quick ground. He beat Platitude actually on quick ground here over 2 miles last September. That was his last win, but his best effort, strictly on ratings, was his fourth in the Copper Horse Handicap, the improved version of the Ascot Stakes, as far as I'm concerned, at Royal Ascot on his first, second run of the since the resumption. He shaped better than the result that day. He came from a bit further back. You know, he's got course form. I still think he's on a pretty good mark. Richard Kingscote won't hesitate to grasp the nettle. He's that sort of jockey. And in a weak race, I'm just going to go in again at 8-1.
Okay, we stick with the 1 mile and six trip for our next race at 3 o'clock. It's the Qatar Lily Langtry Stakes over two. Sorry, it's a group two rather for fillies and mares and just the four runners. Very disappointing, Frank. How do Paddy Power bet on this?
Embahar is even money. Manuel de Vega 9-4. Snow 5-1. And Cabaletta is 13-2.
You got a strong view, Frank?
I thought Snow was very interesting. Like Manuel de Vega looks very sharp considering there's been a bit of cut on the ground and it's going to be fast, you know, probably fast ground, probably looking at the weather forecast and the temperatures. She's very, I can't see her, how she can win. She was hammered by Embahar in this race last year when she was getting the 3-year-old allowance. She's 17. Now, so I just can't see how she reverses. Cabaletta shaped like she might have wanted this trip last time in a listed race, but that was really slowly run. I didn't think it was a very strong race at Newbury either. Embahar is definitely the one to beat, but Snow, as I said, it's a full sister to Kew Gardens, who obviously won a ledger in a long distance cup. I think she's really going to appreciate the step up and trip, and she's obviously getting the 3-year-old allowance as well. If you go back to Leopardstown in the middle of June, she was second to Blue Wind Stakes, beaten half length by One Voice. One Voice ran a cracker in the Nassau yesterday. Staff form looks decent. I think you can forgive her the run in the Irish Oaks. She didn't go that hard. It's there. I think she'll improve for the step up and trip. And I think she'll beat, even though she's a relatively big price.
Okay, Keith, who's your selection?
On the basis more of wrong price than a massive fancy, Cabaletta is the one I'll be backing in this race. It was a slow time at Newbury, but given how she had to wait for a gap and still came and won, it was quite impressive. It was a belated realisation of the promise she'd shown behind Franconia at Newbury on her reappearance in June. She's three and she gets a wait for age allowance, which over a mile six at this time is probably on the generous side anyway, and it's definitely on the generous side if you're out of Allegretto, who obviously was a steer, a very popular steer in her day. She's undoubtedly going to improve for this trip for me. Embahar sets a standard on what she did in this race last year, but she had a go already this year and didn't come up to that. Manuel de Vega, I can see why she might reverse form, because I think she's a better horse this year than the one that was beaten by Embahar last year when I actually quite fancied her. And Snow's obviously an unexposed sort too, but Cabaletta's form is arguably a little bit better, and she is another one who is definitely going to improve for the trip. So as the outsider by clear water, I think she's undoubtedly the bet.
Okay, Frank and Keith have both tipped the two outsiders in the field. G-Rod, who are you going to go for?
I think it's a really easy race to decipher. I just think the favourite will win, Imbahar. She's absolutely different class to this lot anyway on fast ground. She slammed Manuela de Vega last year in the race. Manuela de Vega definitely wants softer ground. Imbahar ran on soft ground first time out at Newmarket behind Dame Malio in a really weird race. I mean, it was a bizarre race. Communique went off in front. Then I think Holly Doyle made like a decisive move on Dame Malio to come and lead. And those two basically fought it out. And Imbahar was running on really strongly towards the finish. Soft ground isn't her bag, MBR. She will be much better suited by fast conditions. And I just don't think Snow and Cabaletta are anywhere near good enough.
Okay, let's do the Stewards' Cup next.
Paddy Power giving all customers a £5 free bet for Saturday of Glorious Goodwood. Just log in and claim on site. Terms and conditions apply. 18+becomeaware.org.
Right then, the big race on Saturday, the 3:35 at Goodwood, the Unibet Stewards' Cup, over 6 furlongs, 28 runners. Strong favourite though, Frank.
Yeah, we're paying 5 places here, and we also have a Goodwood tomorrow too, a €5 or £5 free bet offer. Just have to log in and claim it. Terms and conditions apply. But Nahar, yeah, short enough at 4-1. Mira 7-1. Gulliver 12s, along with Lexus and Dash, Summer Gans and Hey Jonesy, Swindler, Kimmy 5 all 14-1. Watan 16-1, and we're 20s bar.
Keith, start us off. Who wins this?
Again, as I said with the Stewards sprint, I see the pace all being low and middle here. There's a cluster sort of 4 and 5, and then a few more in the sort of mid to high teens. And it's one of the ones in the middle that I'm going to put up a bit of a price for an each way bet. That's Watan, who has a lot of class last year, was asked to run in Group 1 races. In fact, he was mid-division in the Jean Prat on his final run last season. Guz has quite a bit of speed and ran. He was second to Nahar at Newbury on his reappearance. I think the way he travelled through that race and then just plugged on, given his 7 furlong form, says to me that that was a pipe opener. He will be fitter for that run. They've stuck Ryan Mooren in this time. I think he will come on for that run. And as long as he can lay up over a sharper 6 furlongs, I think he is a very interesting sort in among the pace at about 16-1.
Watan for Richard Hannon and Ryan Moore. G-Rod, who's your Stewards' Cup selection?
Yeah, I'll be sticking with the low numbers again here, and at least we do have some pace low this time. I mean, I would have been all over the favourite Nahar if he wasn't drawn in stall 19. He just looks like an absolute speed boy. He looks like the sort of horse who will relish this sort of downhill test, and he's a massive potential improver. But from stall 19, I think he's really going to struggle from that draw. So as a result, I've come down on Gulliver, who's been in fantastic form recently. He was fourth behind Hey Jonesy in the Wokingham, I think it was, at Royal Ascot, when he would come right up the stand side and the winner was on the other side. And then last time out was desperately unlucky to lose out in the scurry at the Curra. It was 6.5 furlongs and he was just run down near the line, having looked all over the winner. I think a faster 6 furlongs will really suit Gulliver, but I'm also going to have a little play at one at a bigger price that I think could run really well. Tinto, or Amanda Perrett again, and Jim Crowley again. Now, Tinto is a bit in and out on his last few starts. He runs one good race, one bad race, one good race, one bad race. But he really caught my eye flying home to finish third behind Ayali in the Coral Charge on Eclipse Day at Sandown over 5. And he's a much better horse over 6 furlongs on fast ground. And I think Keeley tipped him up last time out when he ran at Newbury in the Hackwood Stakes, a group race. And he was beaten a mile in the end, but he was on the wrong side of the track. He was trying to attempt to challenge all on his own right on the far side when the main bulk of the field were in the middle towards the stand side. I think you can probably put a line through that run. At a massive price, I could really see Tinto running well as well. So it's Gulliver and Tinto each way.
Right then, Frank, it's been lovely having a bit more of you on the podcast recently. But I must admit, one thing I've missed is you doing that thing where I throw to you for a selection and you do that sharp intake of breath and say you really, really fancy one. Is this the race where we're going to get a Frank special?
It's very hard to be very bullish in a Stewards Cup, but I did think there was one at a massive price here that was very interesting, and that's Atalanta's Boy for David Minuzier. Now, the Arda in form, they've had four winners from 11 runners in the last 2 weeks, and this horse, he only had two runs as a three-year-old in maidens, showed a bit of form on a second start and third of Fast Last. But in handicaps, he's only had eight starts in handicaps. He's won four of them and been beaten in next, second, and another. He's very unexposed for his age. And the other interesting thing is he's been to Goodwood twice on good ground and heavy ground. And when he was second past the post the first day, he got in the stewards room. He got really badly impeded by taking right across the track. And I think with a clear run, he would have won easily. And then last September, he bolted in off a mark of 75. Now, he reappeared at Chelmsford at the beginning of June and won half a length. What did look a strong race, but the time was really good for the grade. Like, really marked him out as a horse that's far than an 81 horse. His times, I went back looking. The time was actually the second fastest run since November at Chelmsford over six furlongs. And he was only 0.04 seconds slower than the fastest, though he was carrying 3 pounds higher. Then the last day, Windsor, he was just nabbed in the line by Arcanada. Thought he was a little bit of luck. He's drawn low here. He put up with the pace with Miras. And I just thought with his course record, he's very, very interesting. He's 25 to 1. I wouldn't be surprised if you were getting 33 or 40 later on. And I'm definitely going to be having a bet on him.
Lovely stuff. So to summarise, Giro goes for Gulliver and Tinto. Keith goes for Watan. And Frank goes for Atalanta's Boy. I will have to back some again because I always do. Let's hope the top weight can run well. ITV have covered Goodwood really brilliantly this week, despite not having all the crowds and all the colour and all the atmosphere. And the final race they cover for the 2020 Glorious Goodwood Festival is the 410. It's the Qatar Handicap over seven furlongs, nine runners. Frank, what's the latest betting on this?
Yeah, Society Line is 9-4, Mr. Snowden 4-1, Cold Front 9-2, King Ragnar 13-2, Tom Frey 8-1, and we're 10-1 bar.
Who are you going to go for, Graham Rodway?
I think Cold Front will probably win it. The only worry, of course, is that the ground is on the soft side, and all of Cold Front's best form so far is with cutting the ground. And he is the son of Lope de Vega, who people often say is a bit of a cutting-the-ground influence, although I don't think that's a massive thing.
What are you worried about? You're worried about soft ground?
I'm worried about the ground being too fast for him.
Oh, right, OK, you said soft. You're confusing me today. You're saying low when you mean high and soft when you mean fast.
Is this echo? It's playing with my mind. Shall I start again?
No.
4-10. Right, Cold Front, there's a doubt about him acting on fast ground because all of his best form's on soft. And he is by Lope de Vega, a lot of people say that his sire's progeny go well on soft ground. Now, I'm not convinced. I think that plenty of his also handle fast ground. And I think, as a result, it's worth giving Cold Front a chance. He was so impressive when he won at Haydock last time, albeit he was entitled to win in the way that he did. And the previous time when he was second at Yarmouth, there was an absolute mile back to the third. The front two were just miles better than anything else. And William Haggis, well, there aren't many better with this sort of lightly raised type. So if Cold Front handles fast ground, he'll win.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Frank, who's your selection going
to
be?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Mr. Snowden here, Bruce. It's just a horse I've been following since his debut win at Wolverhampton when he was really well backed. He went off 6-5 that day, clocked a really fast section and followed up at Yarmouth in a decent-looking novice race, beating Enemy, and again clocking a fast section. Enemy is a horse that didn't let the form down. He was fourth at the Britannia Stakes and then was just pushed off handicap at Sandown over 10 furlongs. Mr. Snowden was flying too high then the Jersey, but seven furlongs of fast on soft ground would have been all against him. He bounced back to form the last at Yarmouth over six back on fast ground. He was beaten half a length by Mr. Kiki. Probably slightly a bit unlucky, was held up that day and it wasn't an overly strongly run race. Finished well. He's gone up 3 pounds, I think seven furlongs on this track, and fast ground will really suit him. And he might not be as classy as a couple of them, but he's just the horse I like, and I think there's a decent race in him.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Keith, who do you like?
I was just going to keep it simple and say, oh, I'm surprised Cold Front's not shorter. The Powers price is 9-2 that I can see in front of me, and I think he'll go off shorter than that. But I was interested by what G-Rod said. You know, there is this perception about Lope de Vega's progeny. And to be honest, I had never looked into it to the extent where I've tested whether it bears out or it's just some semi-lazy stereotype about French horses. What I did do is I looked into the dam, Cloud Line. She only ran three times. All, I think, were on Good to Firm, and she won for the only time in a Newmarket maiden on Good to Firm. So it's something that doesn't get picked up as much as I think it should. We always talk about sire's propensity to give a horse a liking for a certain type of ground. We don't often hear talk about the dam side and what the dam's influence can be in terms of ground preferences. Cold Front dam won on Good to Firm, so on that basis, I couldn't have any issue with him acting under these conditions.
Excellent. Thank you, gents. Let's do four races at Newmarket next.
Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Graham Rodway and Frank Hickey from Paddy Power. We've done Goodwood. Now we're going to do four ITV races at Newmarket, small fields, starting with the 205. Over six furlongs, the European Bloodstock News, British EBF Fillies Nursery. Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power and what's your fancy?
She's so nice, 9-4, Famille Roll 3-1, Mahan 4-1, Basilicata 9-2, and we're 7-1 Bar. I thought She's so nice to take a bit of beating. I thought she showed plenty of speed when winning here the last day. She was second to Hala Hala on debut. That form has worked out, and potentially she'll get an easy lead, and her mark of 82 looks fair. Yeah, I think she's the correct favourite.
She's so nice for Frank. Who for you, Keith?
I'm going to agree with Frank. I hadn't seen prices until he just rattled them off. So I was sitting here thinking, well, there's a price at which I would back Famille Rose because I like the way she's shaped in her two starts. But at 9-4 versus 3-1, the bet is still She's So Nice. She was favourite for that Hala 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 race at Thirsk. And as Frank says, it's worked out. And obviously next time she won, kept it simple, but banged out and basically made all. She's probably better than 82, and 9-4 is a perfectly fair price.
Who are you going to go for, G-Rod?
I had a very similar view to Keith, actually, but I come down on the Famille Rose instead of She's So Nice. I just really like the way that Famille Rose has gone through races in her last two starts. She just looks like she's got loads of ability, but she's doing quite a lot wrong. She's still green. She's still a bit free. But I think this sort of speed track might suit her. I'm a little bit worried that She's So Nice might be too professional for her on just her third start. But on pure ability grounds, I'll go for Famille Rose.
The 240 is the It's Not Rocket Science at Mansion Bet Handicap. It's over seven furlongs. Annoyingly, we've only got seven runners in this. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet?
We actually don't have prices on this, Bruce. And just look at the race. I can probably see why it's a terribly difficult race, I thought. But yeah, we don't have prices at the moment.
Okay, it's a terribly difficult race, says Frank. Do you agree, Keith?
Basically, well, it depends on what price Bashir is. I assume he'll be short. If he isn't, I'll back him. But I'm assuming he'll be, well, without looking and pricing up myself, I assume he'll be in the sort of 2-1 region.
Okay, Graham?
Bashir was very impressive at Salisbury. The race hasn't really worked out. The time wasn't amazing. And the racing post rating isn't amazing either. So if he goes off short, I'll be keen to take him on. Carabana was the one that I fancied for Richard Hughes. Now, he's put William Buick on the horse. It's still a bit of a shame that Shane Kelly isn't riding because Carabana looks quite a tough ride. You have to put his head in front on the line. And that's what Shane Kelly did last time out at Newbury. But the front two come clear in that race. And as far as substitutes go, you ain't going to get much better than William Buick.
Okay. And Frank, your tentative fancy is?
It's just a race. I didn't like anything, and they wouldn't have a bet, Bruce, to be honest.
No problem, my friend. Maybe you will in the 315, which is the British Stallion Studs EBF Chalice Stakes. It's a listed race for the females over a mile and four. How do Paddy Power bet?
Expressionism is 5-2, Qatar 11-4, Bellavita 9-2, Maccabee 9-2, Cosmic Princess 8-1, number 12 is Bar.
G-Rod, who are you going to go for?
Oh, yeah, Katara will win this. She was very impressive last time out at Kempton. She travelled beautifully and never stronger than at the finish. She was really powering into the line and was putting a huge amount of distance between her and the second, Le Dragon Taylor, who's quite a useful horse. And the step up to a mile and four furlongs, she's going to relish that. I think she's one of the bets of the day, Katara.
Frank, do you agree?
Oh, right with Rod, with great G-Rod here. This is absolutely, I was amazed at the prices. The first time we looked at the races, about 1 o'clock last night, and I was just really surprised she's not clear favourite. I think she will be in a couple of hours when this is priced up. Everything G-Rod said there, like, she's bred for middle distance. You could forgive her first run over seven furlongs. That race has worked out. The first Majestic Newer followed up at Newbury in a handicap off 80. The third Lady behind Cabaletta in a listed race. And the fourth by the handicap of 72. And even the 10th Square Petal won a Newmarket maiden. She was really impressed with Kempton. I think she's going to really relish Des Moines. Yeah, she's a cracking bet.
Two confident votes for Katara. Is it three, Keith?
It is. I think she'll. I cannot believe she's not favourite. Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, form of the Kempton win solid. The dam stayed a mile six. I think she was third in the group two at Donny over that trip. I think she's going to be a smart stayer, Katara, in time. I don't think a mile four will be her ultimate trip, but in a pretty moderate Phillies listed race over a mile and a half, I think she's the one to be on, and I think she will probably go off short at 2-1.
Okay, I'm not quite sure why the field sizes are so small at Newmarket. It's not like there's 5,000 horses trained just down the road, but we've only got four runners in the 350, which is the gloriously simple with Mansion Bet further flight stakes over a mile and six. Frank, read Paddy Power's prices out and then tell us how far Withhold will win.
Moonlight Spirit 6-5, Withhold 15-8, Jubilee Affair 4-1, and Vivid Diamonds 15-2. This is just a very dodgy race. Moonlight Spirit, I thought, should have won. Like, I thought going into the race he was going to win at York. He was bitterly disappointed. I couldn't have him in mind now. The blinkers go on. Jubilee Affair on a five timer, but he's only rated 88, so he's so much to find. And Vivid Diamonds been very disappointing. So by process of elimination, Withhold just has his two starts at Newmarket, albeit on the road, of course, resulting in two wins. I didn't think he shaped too badly in the Gold Cup, to be fair to him. Finishing fourth and just back to 1 mile six on decent ground, I think it'll suit him. He'll bounce out in front, and I think he'll...
Do you go along with that, Keith, or are you going to look elsewhere?
More or less, it's a bloody awful race. You know, Frank said very dodgy. I would go further. You know, it's three out of form horses and an in-form handicapper. Looking at it in the shades of grey, Withhold, while strictly out of form, hasn't been. He has been showing, you know, signs of life. And if Ashine Murphy just bobs him out, what's going to catch him? So I think, yeah, I think that's the right way to play this race if you want to.
And G-Rod, what's your view?
Yeah, horror show of a race, isn't it? I mean, you've got Moonlight Spirit in there. He's been beaten 59 lengths on his last two starts and beaten nothing. And you've got Charlie Appleby slapping blinkers on him, yet he's still 6-5 favourite. Charlie Appleby is 1-3 with runners in blinkers, first time in the last few seasons. So he doesn't stick blinkers on too many of them. I think he's got a pretty good record when he's 6 cheek pieces on, though. And 1-3 with blinkers ain't bad. It wouldn't surprise me if he'd come back. But, geez, I mean, would you want to be back and also has beaten 59 lengths his last two starts at that price? No thanks. But then the same can be said about Withhold. I mean, I can't be back in that also. It's sub 2-1. Been beaten 34 lengths on his last two starts combined. I mean, no thank you. And then the other one, Vivid Diamonds, only beaten one horse in his last three starts. Oh, what an awful race. I have to back Dubious Affair for Charlie Fellows. At least comes in here in form, having won four in a row. He's got loads to find, but is improving, stays really well, and is open to improvement, further improvement.
Just a quick one. It's a Dubious Affair to win a Dubious Affair. Yeah, sorry, Keith, go on.
I was just saying, it's a funny old quirk of the pattern, this, where we've saved the further flight stakes, that Nottingham race in April that tends to be just a pipe number for all these stairs, and lost the lockage.
Yeah, that's a good shout. But, I mean, again, it's to do with the pattern attempting to promote staying races, and this is what you get. It's not great, is it? But let's see if there's anything else worth backing over the weekend. I've got one question for each of you. G-Rod, what else do you fancy on Saturday?
I'm hoping it might be a quick double for Charlie Fellows, because in the following race, the 4:25 at Newmarket, he runs Mayfair Spirit.
Now, this one was very impressive when winning his first run over a mile and 3.5 at Windsor last time. Stayed on really strongly, looked to relish the extra trip. And that was quite a decent race. Mordred, the second's run well since. Buriram, I think, has won since he was third. And the front three were clear of the remainder. This horse is open to loads of further improvement now, up to an extra half furlong in trip. And I think Mace Fair Spirit can win the 4.25 at Newmarket.
Thank you, Graham. My question for you, Frank, is do you fancy anything at Galway on either Saturday or Sunday? And if so, what are their names?
Yeah, a couple. In the 5.15 on Saturday, look, Princess Zoe's been extremely impressed in her last two starts. She's entered here again. I think she'll probably make up into Sarah Vitoris. Tony Mullins is on about it after she won on Monday. Yeah, she's up £7 here, but she'll take a bit of beating. If for any reason she doesn't run, Melburnian's very interesting in the race. Tony Martin's won it twice and hasn't had a second in the last 6 years. This horse showed its first real bit of ability at Listowel last year off Mark 74, went fourth. She was second at Newmarket on her next start off 75, nailed late by Specialized. I think she was a little bit unlucky that day. She bolted up at Leopardstown, a Premier Handicap in October off Mark 77. That race has worked out well. Halimi's placed in a number of Premier Handicaps since. The fourth, Linwood Gold, won the Ebor Trial at the Car a few weeks ago. And even the 10th and 13th Pearl Warrior and Edification have won as well. She's shaped like she badly needed her run of Cork on reappearance. I think if Princess Zoe doesn't run, she's very interesting. And just one of a wild price, likely to be a wild price in a 3.45. Queen Amidala, decent form in Three Maidens last season, was fifth at Clarny behind Torrent Shaman. Romantic Proposal was fourth. Romantic Proposal won a nice handicap at the Curragh a couple of weeks ago. The third at Gall, she was third at Galway then last year behind Lancaster House. Lancaster House rated 110 now. They like the Cerberus and Man 4 behind. Cerberus obviously turned into a decent hurler. Man 4 did well in handicap subsequently. She won a Tunnel, who's rated 72, and she was third and second in the dock off mark of 71 and 73 over 10 furlongs. Poor on both starts this year, both over 10 furlongs, but I think a drop to a mile here and Shane Foley booked is very interesting. He's doing 8-8, which is very near his minimum, and like there's every chance she could be 33, 40, 50 to 1, and I'd definitely have a few quid in her if she takes her chance. And on Sunday, the good 7 furlong handicap at 4.20, I haven't seen the draw yet, it's not out, but if Quizzical gets a decent draw, I think he's very interesting. He's definitely a Galway specialist. In 2017, he was beaten on a maiden here in a second start, and he ran again another maiden later in the week, was second to Yulon Gold Fairy. Yulon Gold Fairy ended up winning a Group 3, so that was a decent effort. He was third in the BMW Mile last year off American 91, beaten only 3/4 for length, didn't get the clearest runs that day, was an unlucky loser, and was sixth in this race last year. Was drawn very wide, was trapped wide the whole way, and was a little bit keen. And I think you can mark him up. He just didn't get a great trip that day. He balls up at Leopardstown on soft ground off 93. He's up a few pounds here, but I think easy ground's important, and there's a bit of rain forecast today. So if the ground is soft and he's drawn, you know, 7, 8, 9 at the highest, I think he's got a really good chance, and this is him being a decent price as well.
Frank, just remind us of the name and the race of that horse you said that could be 50 to 1.
It's Queen Amidala in the 3.45 at Galway,
and that's on Saturday.
That's on Saturday, yeah.
Lovely. And Keith, my question for you: big race on Sunday in France, 2.50 at Deauville. Tell us about that and who might win.
Yeah, it's the Prix Rothschild's Mile Group 1, probably remembered most as one of those races Golden Cova used to win every year. There's six runners, and I think there's only two Group 1 fillies in it, potentially. One of them's Watch Me, who we'll all know. She won the Coronation Stakes last year. She was third in the Opera. She can be a little bit hit and miss. She's 5-6. She probably should be. The only other one's 11-1, and it's Speak of the Devil. She caught the eye in the French Guineas over the same course and distance. She just got all sorts of trouble and missed out by a nose, should have won by daylight. Chuck out a run in the Prix de Diane. She missed the start and didn't stay. Now back at a mile at Deauville, where she should have already won a Group 1, at 11-1 in a race like this, I think she is a good bet.
Excellent. We've had some fun on the podcast this week. Let's sign off with some decent naps. Keith Melrose.
Let it never be said that Frank can't multitask, because in the time since we last talked about the 3.15 at Newmarket, Katara's into 9-4. Nonetheless, she's still the nap of the weekend for me.
Katara in the 3.15 at Newmarket. Who's your nap, G-Rod?
I'm going to go for the 350 at Newmarket, Dubious Affair.
And Frank Hickey.
I like Keith's comment there. I'm napping Katara as well. I know people like to do a travel, but I just think she's the bet of the weekend. And I thought it was, I couldn't leave her not be favoured when I'm going to nap her. So that's why I gave her a cut.
Oh, you sod. You've nicked your own value. That's no good.
I was making it up as well. I thought somebody else had done that.
No.
He actually did it himself. It's fine.
Oh no!
I'd be getting a curly finger, lads, if I didn't nick it myself.
Unbelievable things. Oh well, never mind. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. Maddie is back on Monday to dissect all the Goodwood and Galway action, and we're back next Friday for another great Racing Post weekend. Please bet responsibly, and please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.